Excellent. Good on. Who's that from?
It's from Tony from Ludnam.
Good on you, Tony. Get a little asterisk next to your name there when it comes to handing out the prizes. We'll have our second question for our double pass to State of Origin tonight, and we'll get you all pumped up for the game too, because the greatest coach in New South Wales history, Phil Gus Gould, will be our guest after the news.
I'm Peter Holden. The West Australian Liberals are basking in the glow of a strong by-election win, saying a big swing away from Labor in the state seat of Darling Range sends a clear message. Alyssa Hayden, a two-term Barnett government upper house MP, beat Labor candidate Tanya Lawrence, a former Woodside manager who was parachuted in after the government's first candidate, Colleen Yates, quit in a storm of controversy. Ms Yates bowed out of the race days after being endorsed when it emerged she had exaggerated her tertiary qualifications in an online profile. Prime Minister Julie Bishop says the result is a clear verdict on the McGowan government.
People are disappointed with the McGowan government. They are concerned about the high cost of living and the fact that under Labor, the cost of services is going up.
A man and a boy have been charged with armed robbery following an incident southeast of Brisbane. A man was threatened by two males armed with a knife and robbed of cash at a shopping centre in Birkdale, Redland City on Saturday afternoon. The two males were found by police a short time later and arrested. An 18-year-old man was charged with one count of armed robbery and is expected to appear in the Cleveland Magistrates Court on June 25th, while a 17-year-old boy is being charged with one count each of armed robbery and going armed to cause fear. The Vatican Tribunal has convicted a former Holy See diplomat and sentenced him to 5 years in prison for possessing and distributing child pornography in the first such trial of its kind inside the Vatican. The BBC's John McManus reports.
In August last year, the US State Department notified the Vatican that a member of its diplomatic corps might have been in possession of child pornography. A few weeks later, the US asked that Capella's diplomatic immunity be lifted, but the Vatican refused and instead recalled the priest to Rome. On Friday, Capella pleaded guilty to the charge, telling the court he had developed a morbid desire after his arrival in America. A prosecution witness said that an examination of the priest's personal devices revealed more than 40 incriminating images, including an explicit video involving a small child.
US President Donald Trump is continuing to use his theme of strength, law and order, insisting migrants are criminals. Attempts to resolve the current crisis over immigration in the US via legislation is currently stalled. Our US correspondent Priscilla Huff reports.
U.S. President Donald Trump wants his supporters to know his administration does a much better job on immigration while maintaining a stronger border. It's part of his message that migrants are criminal, except the evidence is that the rate of crimes committed by immigrants is much lower than those committed by American citizens. President Trump believes a literal wall will halt immigration, while critics note he said nothing about the root causes of migration, the violence, poverty, and political instability in Venezuela, Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala, and other Central American countries. Congressional leaders postponed votes on legislation to address the crisis, and as President Trump said, there was no point until the, quote, red wave during the November elections. He's promising lots of Republican lawmakers will be elected, except the party itself is worried about how many seats it will lose in the U.S. Congress to the Democrats. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
This is Air News. Tonga have declared themselves ready and willing for a shot at Australia after ramming home their case for an historic test with a thrilling 38-22 defeat of Samoa in Sydney. Fresh off their semi-final appearance at last year's World Cup, the Tongans ran in six first-half tries before holding off a late comeback in front of nearly 18,000 fans on a chilly Saturday night at Campbelltown Stadium. Jason Tamalolo and Will Hopewate start as the Tongans' combined 1,501 games of NRL experience was brought to the fore. Coach Christian Wolf says Tonga is hungry for a bigger challenge.
We'd love a crack at the Aussies, and it's not just the Aussies. We just want to make sure that we get given the opportunity, I suppose, to keep improving. And I've said many a time that the game that we really need to have on a regular basis is us versus New Zealand.
In last night's other Pacific Test, Papua New Guinea upset Fiji 26-14. In the AFL, North Melbourne skipper Jack Zeeble kicked a last-minute winner to break Western Bulldogs' hearts in a two-point thriller at Etihad Stadium, 12-5-77 to 11-9-75. Ireland held off the Wallabies for a thrilling 20-16 victory at Allianz Stadium in Sydney to claim the Lansdowne Cup. In Super Netball, the West Coast Fever easily accounted for the Adelaide Thunderbirds, 76-56. And overnight at the World Cup in Russia, Belgium accounted for Tunisia, 5-2. Mexico beat South Korea 2-1, and a Toni Kroos goal in the 95th minute saw Germany steal a 2-1 win against Sweden. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Shiraz. By DeBortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Looking for house and land? Get started with 5% deposit and pay the rest on completion with McDonald Jones Homes. Better hurry. Visit mcdonaldjoneshomes.com.au for details. In Alfords Point, look out for a chair on Alfords Point Road at Henry Lawson Drive. It's affecting southbound traffic. We've got delays to the airport, very heavy on Marsh Street and Airport Drive. And in Surrey Hills, we've got changed traffic conditions for track work on Chalmers Street between Cleveland and Devonshire Street. If you're travelling through DY this weekend, plan ahead as there will be roadworks on Pittwater Road that may affect your trip. For full details, visit livetraffic.com. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
G'day guys, Noel V here. Sutton City's letting every ABN holder take more than they give this end of financial year on the tough new Holden Colorado pickup. Priced from just $39,990 drive away with a 5-year warranty and roadside assist plus an amazingly low 3.99% per annum finance rate for ABN holders. Check them out online at suttoncityholden.com.au or drop by 2 Link Road, Zetland and ask, what about me?
MD 14314.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline. Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Mostly sunny.
You're right with the wheat thick.
Areas of morning frost in the west. Light winds becoming south to southwesterly, 15 to 20 kilometres an hour in the morning and then becoming light in the evening. It's a bit cold in here. Maximum of 16 degrees, mostly sunny today. Raymond, what about at Parramatta and at Perisher?
We'll get serious at Perisher. Parramatta's still cool, only 8 degrees.
Yes.
At the moment, heading for a top temperature of 17. Guess what Perisher is right now, James?
-3.
Oh, you looked.
It's right there.
You could have played along with it.
Oh, sorry.
It's -3 at the moment, heading for a top temperature of just 1.
You get on a bit of a roll, 20-4, and they will not pull up. Seguiaro straight through Walker. Support both sides.
To the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the show, and it's the final hour too. We'll have our question coming up very shortly about the second, to get you the second question for the double pass, courtesy of ANZ Stadium, out to the big game tonight, which is, it's pretty much the house full. Sign is going to go up very shortly, as we heard from Dean Bulldog Richie. Coming up this hour, excuse me, Gus Gould very shortly. We'll get a sports update with Tanya. World Cup update with Phil Moss. We'll go to Denver for an update of the New Zealand-England test match. Just to, if you haven't heard the score in that one, 36 points to 18, England over New Zealand. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls on 1353-53. Our talk topic today, drought breakers. So if you've got one there, then send it
through. And you've gone off early. You think tonight's a drought breaker.
It's an end of an era. Let's see what the man who's coached New South Wales to more victories than anyone else in its history of state of origin, Phil Gould, who'll be on the coverage tonight for Channel 9. He's been busy this weekend. He had Friday night the women's state of origin. He had Pacific Test last night and, of course, the origin tonight. Been good enough to join us on the line today. G'day, Gus.
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Yeah, really well. This New South Wales side, this preparation, this this job that Brad Fittler's doing as coach, I know you know him probably as well as anyone. Are you surprised at the way that Brad's gone about it? It's raised some eyebrows in certain sections, but I was there at training on Thursday. Organised, professional and intense. And they're probably things I didn't associate with Brad Fittler as a coach.
Yeah, well, I sort of said right from the start when he got the job, you underestimate him at your peril. He is extremely organised, and he knows this landscape very, very well. I think what he's done is a couple of things. He's kept it really simple. He's kept the camps really simple. He's kept the football simple, and he's kept selection simple. He's gone with form players who he thinks that the fans will cheer for, and I think that's why we're sort of all really excited about this New South Wales team. And win, lose or draw, we can cheer for them, and that's really important.
Yeah, good morning, Phil. You're 100% right. He chose his own team. He chose players that are in form. But, Gus, can I ask you, what makes an Origin player?
Well, it's a good question because there's no real one answer to that. The one thing I do say is that, you know, just being selected for Origin doesn't make you an Origin player. And just because you've played Origin well in the past, you know, you've got to go out and prove it again every time you're selected. So you're constantly proving yourself in all the attributes that help you compete at this level and be a valuable team member. And I think the one thing that I think separates Origin players from those who probably haven't succeeded at this level is that you do value the team ethos. You do value your role in the team and its importance. And that you're playing for the people with you and around you and who support you. And some players just miss that point. Some teams miss that point. Some coaches miss that point. It's really to generate, to bring 17 players together in a week who normally compete with each other on a weekly basis and pull them together and galvanise them to play for a common cause for 80 minutes against very, very strong opposition is not an easy task, but you're relying on the buy-in factor of the player that says, I want to be a part of the team. I'm just not here to look after myself.
So let's have a look at that from a case study point of view, Gus. Ryan James missed out in game one, just. Now he misses out again to Matt Prior. Why do you think Brad Fittler thought Matt Prior was the man for State of Origin in front of Ryan James on this occasion?
Yeah, well, you could argue that probably he was thinking Matt Prior was unlucky to miss out in game one too. Eventually he named people and I'm sure Ryan James is close to a start. Matt Prior at 31, if not now, you know, would he get his chance again? Ryan James is 26 and still got plenty of football within him.
Yep.
I guess the thing that tilted him in the end was that Matt Prior's coming from a team at the Cronulla Sharks that has had good success over the last few years. He's played in a winning grand final. And the Sharks, as you know, play that nitty-gritty, grinding style of football. And Matt Prior, who's a former outside back, you know, edge back rower, versatility player who's made a home in the front row, has still got that really good leg speed. He's probably expecting this game to be a lot faster than it was in game one.
Gus, I'm interested in your thoughts on Ponga. A lot of discussion about that X factor he brings to the Queensland team. What's your opinion of Ponga? Is he the type of player who you believe can literally go into a cauldron of Origin battle tonight, series on the line, and perform at his best?
Well, just on that last point, he's part of the new age professional footballer. I think that rugby league, you know, has said that we're full-time professionals since 1995. We're far from being that. You know, they might have been paid to be full-time professionals, but I think rugby league itself was coming to terms with full-time professionalism for a long time. And I honestly believe it's only now just starting to get it right. And the young fellas like your Nathan Cleary's and Kalen Ponga's, I think the really first breed of truly professional footballers that have grown up thinking this is going to be my career and have done everything right throughout their life leading to these moments. And it's why they handle these things so well when they get their opportunity. As a talent, he's a rare talent. I think we know that. Nathan Brown said to me he's the most intelligent rugby league footballer he's ever had anything to do with.
Wow.
And that's a huge rap.
Yeah.
And, there's still big things in store for Kalen. I'm excited because it just adds to the freshness of this Origin series. You know, we've all sat back for the last 13 years and watched Queensland's dominance. At the end of the day, we couldn't beat them. You know, your Smiths, your Thurstons, your Cronks, and this will be Billy's last year. At the end of the day, they were too good for us. And we couldn't find a team or a mentality to beat them. So it's been a fresh start for New South Wales and also a fresh start for some new Queenslanders. And I'm really excited. I wanted to see this kid get at least a run at some stage of the series. And, he's going to be an Origin player for a long period of time. He's very exciting. He's just got a skill set unlike any other. We've watched him come through the NYC program over the last few years, and he's been a dominant force in that. And he won't be worried about tonight, I can guarantee you that. He will just say, well, this is where I'm meant to be.
Yeah. Great mindset in it.
No Smith, no Cronk, no Thurston, as you mentioned. We know they missed them. Where do they miss them most, do you think, Gus?
Well, I think over the years, because those fellas have played so much football together, and Billy as well, I thought leading into game one, the one problem that Queensland could have was not so much in leadership. I mean, Greg Inglis is a captain and he's a leader, and he played a leadership knock, but it's very hard to do it from the centre position.
Yep.
You still need someone to run your game. You still need someone that's actually driving the ship up front and other players tap into. And I just thought, in that respect, Queensland really didn't have a dominant playmaker, neither the 9, the 7 or the 6. You could look at the game and say, well, they're running the show.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone assumed Billy would do that from fullback. He didn't make game one, and I suppose they'll lean on Billy tonight. But the first thing Billy will be saying is, well, you know, who's running the show up front here? Is it the 9 or the 7?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ben Hunt didn't train much in game one. He's done a great job for the Dragons. He's certainly turned them around. I think Queensland had a terrible preparation for game one, not of their own doing, just with injury and different things that happened to them. From what I understand, it's been far more settled this time. They snuck in a couple of extra sessions, and Ben Hunt, I think, is the man that they're going to look to. And it was interesting listening to comments from Cameron Smith immediately after game one. I asked him about the 9, McCullough, how you thought he went. He said, yeah, I don't think the team supported him enough with enough plays around him, and there wasn't enough ball movement at their own end of the field, and they made hard work for themselves, you know, making yardage. So I think just on the words of him, and Billy Slater sort of repeated it on the Sunday on Channel 9 when he was on the panel, so the fact that you got those two great players thinking that way, I think Queensland will have a boss tonight. They, you know, either the 9 or the 7 will take ownership of this team, and that's why I think they'll be much better than they were in game one.
Yeah, that's interesting, Gus, because I was going to ask you about, we were talking about earlier, Jimmy and I, about Damien Cook's potential influence on the game and the sort of influence he had on Origin 1 just with his speed around the rucks.
Well, they played for that. It was why he was selected. In the end, you know, it was always sort of thought that New South Wales might have to go with two hookers in the squads. Could they trust one player for 80 minutes? And from what I understand, it was on the back of Danny Bedaris, who was at the time. And I remember being on the plane coming home with Brad Fittler. We were calling a Canberra game, and Andrew Johns, Brad Fittler and Danny Bedaris were on the phone all the time during the South Sydney St George game, where South gave it to St George. And Danny Bedaris said, Damien Cook can go 80 minutes, he's our hooker. So Danny Bedaris was a big part of that, to say, well, we won't go with two, we'll go with one. That's why Peachy was useful off the bench, because they trained him up to play some dummy half work.
Mm.
And I think in Andrew John's mind too, the way that they were going to play the game was through the middle and around the middle part of the field and try and come through their forwards. And the work that Damien Cook did, setting up the first try, Tedesco did later in the game, we made breaks around that area. It was a very deliberate mindset, a very deliberate game plan, and it produced the points for them. I thought probably Queensland actually handled the yardage game better than New South Wales did. New South Wales were prepared to move the ball, though, to make ground, to run them around a little bit, but once they got in attacking positions, that brought Cook and Tedesco into the game, and those two players hanging around the middle of the field were really dangerous.
It's interesting you make mention of it, and I was listening to the podcast during the week, Six Tackles with Gus. Six halves of football in any Origin series year. 44-10, New South Wales led after the first three halves last year. 34 points to 6, Queensland. And as much as you said new team, Gus, new mentality, and looking at that those final three halves of football, you could see that it was the mentality that had New South Wales beaten. Do you think there's been a... I know there's been a change for New South Wales. Do you think there's been a change for Queensland in that as well?
Well, what I do know is Queensland will handle the back half of the series. You know, there's no risk about that. You know, New South Wales yet to prove it can, yet to prove they can win close games. And this will be close tonight. I think the last four or five have been decided by an average of 2 points here at ANZ Stadium. It's just the way the games are played here. New South Wales has got to prove it can go down to the back end of a game and win it. There was some extraordinary statistic during those, you know, that run of 13 Origin series where Queensland won 12, but every time the game was in the balance, you know, less than 6 or 7 minutes to go, Queensland won 14 out of 15 or something.
Wow.
Statistics. So it's that's a period that they've got to do. And this series is, we're not even into the second half of it yet.
I mean, yeah.
There's a lot to be learned. And I'm sure the one point that Brad Fittler, Danny Bedaris, Andrew Johns, Greg Alexander are making for their team is that the game you played in game one is not the game you're preparing for this time. last year, New South Wales, as you said, they dominated the first three halves, 44-10, and then gave the body language that this was over. And it was only just beginning. And I don't think it was pure football that beat them. It was mentality that beat them. And Queensland just know it so well. And it's passed down from player to player, team to team, generation to generation. So the hard part of this series is still well in front of New South Wales.
Yeah, can't wait. I guess we're all counting the hours and minutes, the seconds until tonight. There'll be a huge TV audience watching the Channel 9 coverage. Are we getting a glimpse of the future of Origin with this standalone match tonight?
Well, yeah, I think it could develop into something really good. I mean, we've seen the rep weekend already. It's thrown up some great football. The standalone game for the girls on Friday night.
How good was that, Phil? That was fantastic.
Well, it's attracted a lot of attention, a lot of accolades, and it's put them on the stage now, and I think you're only going to see that part of the game grow. What got my enthusiasm going was walking around North Sydney Oval before the game and seeing so many kids that had come from country areas, you know, Gundagai and Blaney and Candice and Wellington and Tweed Heads and Port Macquarie, you know, people had driven down with netball teams and soccer teams and touch football teams to bring their girls down to watch these women play. You can only imagine the effect it's going to have on them to watch New South Wales win that game and see how physical and how skillful these girls were. So it's the women's game will grow. It's a big part of the new participation, and I think everyone having a look at it at the elite level on Friday night can now see that it's got a grassroots part of it as well that has to be nurtured. The Pacific Island Games last night, you know, it's you don't get much more passion and pride than that.
Yeah.
What they showed, not just for the players, but it's the crowd that gets you.
Yeah.
It's the way they are attracted to it. And you have to think in some time they've got to have their own standalone weekend. Now, it's probably probably not befitting the status or what their status will be in the future, just to put them as a curtain raiser to an Origin weekend. And the idea of the Sunday game, I think if we had, whether it was one Sunday game a year or whatever, I think it's a real good mid-season family policy. It could end up like a grand final Sunday where, you know, families come together and have their barbecues and sit around and watch the game, and it could become a real event. I'll be very, very interested in how it is tonight. We're all excited for the contest. I think we're excited for the freshness of Origin now. It's, you know, Queensland have won that period. They were too good. But can their young fellas carry on with that, or can the New South Wales young fellas take it away from them?
So fascinating. Yeah.
That's the question I'm going to ask you, Gus, to finish up. Who wins tonight?
Oh, well, mate, New South Wales, one will do. I don't care if it's 51-50 or 1-0. But as long as they win, just 1 point. They're hard to win, mate, I can tell you, and any win is a good win. So as long as they're in front when that final siren goes, and it'll be nice.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be great. Coverage on Channel 9. You can catch all of that tonight. We appreciate your time, Gus. Very, very busy this weekend for you, and thanks for enlightening our listeners about Origin and what it means.
Pleasure.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks.
There he is, Phil Gould. Catch him tonight on that Channel 9 coverage. It's going to be huge. It's massive. New South Wales by one. He doesn't care. 51-50 or 1-0. That's his thoughts. 13:53:53. We'll get your thoughts after the break. We'll have a sports update with Tanya and, of course, a World Cup update with Phil Moss.
Penrith Mazda, awarded Mazda Master Dealer 2017. So you're sure to get the best deal at Penrith Mazda during the end of financial year clearance. With over 300 cars in stock and more than 50 utes in the Ute Centre, you're spoiled for choice. The end of financial year clearance at Penrith Mazda, your family-owned and operated Mazda dealer. Mulgoa Road, Penrith, just off the M4, MD18808.
Say goodbye to complex trading platforms with Hi-Lo.
Too hard, too confusing. That's how most feel about margin FX and CFDs. But with Hi-Lo Markets, you can get involved without the heavy outlay. Whether you're a first-timer or a seasoned pro, you can dip your toes in the market with as little as $10. Just register an account, pick your market, say the Aussie dollar, choose whether the value will go higher or lower, and invest. Start with as little as $10 and we'll back you with an additional $100 trading bonus.
Trade with confidence and try the free demo at hilo.com.
General advice only. May not be appropriate for you. Bonuses subject to T's and C's. Read the online PDS before trading.
On the
Breakfast Weekend with a sports update. Here's Tanya Thomas.
New South Wales can clinch its first State of Origin series in a couple of years with a win over Queensland tonight in Game 2 at ANZ Stadium. The Blues will draw on the energy of 82,000 fans. Coach Brad Fittler says it's Maroons captain Greg Inglis that he's most weary of, while Inglis says it's the biggest game of his Origin career. Meantime, in Campbelltown last night in the Pacific Tests, PNG 26 defeated Fiji 14 and Tonga 38 beat Samoa 22. And this morning in Denver, Colorado, England 36 beat New Zealand 18. Ireland is savouring an historic rugby series win over Australia after a 2016 victory over the Wallabies in the third test last night at Allianz Stadium, taking the series 2-1, their first in Australia in 40 years. Coach Joe Schmidt admitted the Six Nations champions had emptied the tanks in front of the record crowd of over 44,000 to cap off the most successful season in Irish rugby history. Both sides were at the end of some dubious referee decisions. Aussie coach Michael Checker invited the referees and their boss to the post-match press conference to answer some questions. The request, however, was denied. New Zealand won the series against France 3-0 and South Africa over England 2-1. Group F Soccer World Cup scores overnight. Mexico 2, South Korea 1, so the Koreans are out. Germany 2 beat Sweden 1, and the Socceroos take on Peru at midnight on Wednesday. Tennis overnight, Nick Kyrgios went down to Marin Cilic 7-6, 7-6 in the semi of the Queen's Court event in London. Cilic will play Novak Djokovic in the final. Sam Stosur also beaten in the semi at the Mallorca Open by Anastasia Sevastova 7-6, 6-1, but will be buoyed by her recent good form heading into Wimbledon. And Roger Federer recorded his 20th consecutive grass court victory to reach his 12th final of the ATP event in Hull. Aussie sprinter Merchant Navy, now trained by Irish genius Aidan O'Brien and ridden by Ryan Moore, scored a thrilling last stride win in the Diamond Jubilee Stakes on the final day of the Royal Ascot program. Another Australian sprinter, Redkirk Warrior, ran a disappointing 10th, while England's top sprinter, Harry Angel, badly bungled the start and was never in the race, placing his Everest hopes in some jeopardy. AFL and the Western Bulldogs coach Luke Beveridge gave his players an almighty spray in the immediate aftermath of their heartbreaking 2-point loss to North Melbourne last night, 77-75. He took his players behind closed doors and conducted a scathing review of their disastrous final minutes. Australia will attempt to salvage some pride at Old Trafford tonight when they meet England in the fifth ODI. The Aussies attempting to deny England a first ever 5-0 clean sweep against the Australian team in any format of the game. Aussie Scott Hand is in a six-way tie for the lead at 5-under heading into tonight's final round of the BMW International Golf in Germany. That's on the European Tour. While in the US, Connecticut to be exact, Paul Casey leads the PGA event by 4. He's at 16-under. Jason Day is 6 shots back after the third round. In netball, the Swifts take on the Firebirds today at 3 o'clock in Brisbane, and Lewis Hamilton will start tonight's French Formula One Grand Prix on pole, the 75th pole of his F1 career. Daniel Ricciardo will start from 5th. And just one more, boys. Former world number one Amélie Mauresmo is to become France's first female Davis Cup captain.
Wow. Davis Cup captain.
Mm.
Wow. Because she famously coached Andy Murray for a while,
didn't
she?
Yeah, in 2014, 2015, the first woman to coach a leading male tennis player. Mm. And in fact, when the decision was made, she says, "I am thinking of Andy today because without him, I would not be here. He had confidence in me when others thought that it was an aberration."
Mm. There you go.
Wow. Mm. And the French Tennis Federation says it's completely groundbreaking. So she'll take over from, not droughtbreaking, but groundbreaking.
I was going to say, is that your nomination? I'll tell you what, it's much better than Patrice's.
Poor
wouldn't
Patrice.
Be hard, would it? For old
he might ring back again, Patrice.
Okay.
He will, don't worry. So
show will go on.
She'll take over from Yannick Noah next year.
Ah,
there you go. That's cool.
Good one. Well done, Amélie Mauresmo. Thank you, Tan. I do appreciate that. We'll very shortly having a chat about the World Game. Well, apparently there's a World Cup on at the moment.
There is.
Roman.
Mm.
And, of course, we'll do our second question.
We need it now, James.
We need it now, right? Mm. Fire away.
Question number two. This is to win two tickets to State of Origin tonight. Remember, we pick question number one first, do we?
No.
Okay.
You've got to be listening.
All right. Question number two. Who is the youngest player to play Origin for New South Wales? Who was the youngest player to play Origin for New South Wales?
Call
That's
now.
Question number two.
If you want your two tickets to State of Origin tonight, courtesy of ANZ Stadium, remember you must have an email address, 1353 53.
and plenty to do. Don't forget the Save Origin kicks off at 2:45, 3:45 the gates open, 4 o'clock is the residents, New South Wales versus Queensland residents, 6:30 the pre-game entertainment starts, 7:40. What odds that, Jim? Save Origin kickoff.
$14.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome to the igloo, Phil Moss with his World Cup.
I know. He's wearing shorts, Phil.
I'm wearing shorts.
Freezing in here.
I've got the beanie on. Ray's got about 3 jackets on.
Haven't been cold in my life.
And then someone sent an SMS from Adam Minaby where it's -7 degrees at 9 o'clock.
Wow.
We are soft here, I've got to say.
Do you know, I didn't need this temperature this morning. I played over 45s yesterday. Well, walked around a pitch. And they've given us a double header. I've got to back up with the old
today.
CC strikers, we call ourselves, because we're on the precipice of one.
How'd you pull up after yesterday, Phil?
Well, I've had about 15 text messages from the boys saying, can anyone get out of bed, or is it just me?
Yeah. No. Well, this will be like an ice bath for you.
That's it.
So it's perfect.
It is. It's a nice cave in here.
Hey, now, I made an admission earlier today, having not spoken to Ray Thomas about it, and he acknowledged the same feelings. If Australia don't win this World Cup, I actually wouldn't mind England winning it. Is there something wrong with us?
I'm just trying to digest that first part. If Australia don't win this World Cup, I thought you were going to say if Australia don't get out of this group.
No, but obviously you'd like to see
we're all
Australia
going for Australia.
But
yes.
Of the teams that we think are a hope, I don't mind England winning it.
Mate, I was born in the old dart.
Right.
So they are my second team without no embarrassment saying that at all. They looked good.
Yeah.
I was happy with how they how Gareth Southgate put them out in that first game, and obviously they play tonight. So after a great result first up, they'll probably let us down tonight and lose. But no, I like the system he played, 3-5-2.
Right.
I like the rotations, Raheem Sterling and Harry Kane, the way they dropped into midfield, the timing of that, the way the wing backs pinged the back four. So there was a lot to like about them.
Mm-hmm.
Question mark is, are they going to be consistent through the tournament, or are they going to do what England usually do?
Yeah. Mm. Hey, bounce the first ball, Phil. Timmy Cahill's non-selection.
Yeah.
And the fact that he hasn't even been brought onto the park. And what happens against Peru on Wednesday night?
Let's go, Ray. Gloves off. I didn't sleep a wink after the Denmark game. I was so frustrated and so annoyed that, like most fans, Australian fans, where was Timmy Cahill in the 70th minute when the boot went down? And if he hasn't got 20 minutes in his legs, what's he doing in
exactly.
Russia?
Correct.
And the other thing, the other point that I made the other day was that you don't necessarily, at his age, with his experience and his record, you don't necessarily need legs to get into the right position at the right time.
He'll need a brain. He'll get into the right spot, won't he?
That's right. And you look at the delivery that came in the last 15 minutes from Arzani, from Bajic, from Risden. And you just can't help but picture Timmy Cahill getting on the end of at least one of them.
So hang on. Bert's a deeply experienced manager.
And doing
a good
job.
What is it that he can't see that we can see?
Well, that's the only rider. Maybe he's seeing something that we can't because
right.
he's inside the camp. And maybe there's something going on that we don't know about, a niggle or something else. I don't know. But what I'd like to see is someone ask the question straight to Bert's face and get an honest answer. Yeah. And I think we deserve that because Timmy Cahill is the greatest ever goal scorer in Australian Socceroo history.
Yes.
He's the most experienced player we've got. His goals, along with Mile Jedinak's penalties and free kicks, got us to this World Cup.
Mm.
So we deserve an answer. And, along with everyone, I was frustrated, very frustrated.
Hey, Phil, what about Robbie Cruz? He has been absolutely targeted on social media as the reason we didn't win against Denmark in particular. Is that fair?
No, it's not. Did Robbie Cruz have one of his better games for the Socceroos? No, he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Was he the reason that we didn't win the game? No, he certainly wasn't. And does any human being, professional athlete or non, deserve that sort of treatment on social media? Absolutely not, and it's a disgrace, and it's you know...
Could it affect him, Phil? Could it affect the team?
Well, that's the thing, Ray. It doesn't just affect the individual and his family. It affects the team because they're such a tight-knit group.
Mm.
And you've seen Matt Leckie come out. You've seen Bajic come out. Even Timmy Cahill, I saw him come out with something in defence of Robbie. And they're all hurting. Mm. You know, when one of your own is under barrage, it affects everyone. And this could... really affect our performance against Peru.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, teams that have impressed. I know you've been a big supporter of Belgium. It's a bit of a dark horse. Lukaku scores 2, and I think you've been pushing him for golden boot. So I'm as shocked as anyone. You look like you're on target for this.
Welcome back. Great to have you here.
That all sounds great, but I did tip Germany to win the whole thing, and they're not looking convincing.
But they've got through, though, Phil.
What about the goal to get through?
Yeah, amazing. I mean, to score a goal like that, Cruz with the 90th minute from a free kick, wonderful goal under pressure like that. It reminded me of Ronaldo in the first game. To pull Portugal back with the last kick of the game. And I'm really happy with what I'm seeing from Belgium. But if you look at their lineup, and this is the reason I tipped them as a roughie, you've got Lukaku, Mertens, Hazard, De Bruyne. They're the players that can create going forward, of course. But then at the back, you've got Vertonghen, you've got a goalkeeper like Courtois. So they've got great balance all over the pitch, experience and players who have been there and done it. So this, I think, is their World Cup. If they can't do it this time, they're going to struggle for a lot of years.
Brazil?
Yeah. I watched that game the other night, and to be 0-0 in the 90th minute and then win 2-0.
Yeah.
And this goes back to what I was saying about the Socceroos with Timmy Cahill. If you look at the big teams... and who's scoring for them, it's the big players.
Yeah.
And that's...
On the big stage.
On the big stage.
Yeah.
And I don't think we can get any bigger than that. Can we get another big in there, Jimmy?
Yeah.
But the thing is that they give their team a lift by being out there, obviously.
Yeah.
But they also strike fear into the opposition.
Mm. And make them change things.
Exactly. The whole mindset changes. I mean, if you're seeing a Timmy Cahill come off the bench with 15, 20 to go...
Danger signs.
And the game's in the balance... I know what the opposition defence is thinking.
I know it's very dangerous to go to managers of players and get their opinions on what the values of players is worth and when how much demand there is. But when you hear a manager say that, I was getting a call in the 32nd minute of a game, and we heard that about Trent Sainsbury after his performances. It's real shop window that these Socceroos are doing for themselves, isn't it, in terms of opportunities overseas?
Absolutely, Jimmy. And... you know, you can look at it one of two ways. It can be a real boost to the player because they'll get wind of it during the World Cup, or it can be a distraction because you start to think ahead. Let's hope it's the former.
Mm.
I think there's a number of Socceroos in line for moves out of this. Sainsbury, Zani will be an interesting
one. Sure,
Zani, what happens there? Not
yeah. Well, he's an interesting one because he's in the City Football Group and owned by Manchester City,
course.
I believe, and loaned back to Melbourne City. So they've got him in their stable, and what they do with him, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say I know what's best for him, as opposed to some of their football heads in that business. But Matty Ryan, you know, his performances have certainly attracted some attention. Risden and the Boot look like they've got some interest from Russia. Lukey Wilkshire made a great career in Russia for himself. So, you know, who would argue against a move like that for those two players? Aaron Moy apparently is at the centre of a $32 million bid from the likes of Everton, Southampton, West Ham.
Wow. What about that cannon that he fired?
Oof.
Mm.
He was, I don't know how far, well outside the box, but fired it in.
But
it
do you know what? Where he struck that from is where I think his position is. If you think of Sydney FC, think of a Milos Ninkovic, who plays on the left, but he plays inside in that number 10 pocket.
Right.
I reckon that's a perfect position for Aaron Moy.
Phil, before we let you go, can we get you to put your manager's hat on? Would you make any changes to the team against Peru, and can the Socceroos get through to the next phase?
Yes, they can, but it's not in our hands anymore, obviously. It's only in one of our hands. Mm. We have to get the result, obviously, and then hope that that France can put Denmark to the sword. And that's certainly a huge possibility, particularly France will want to finish first in the group, so they've still got something to play for. But obviously a draw in that game is no good for us. Do we make changes? I would like to see Aaron Moy further forward. I'd like to see him play number 10. Tommy Rogic was magnificent the other night. Has he got 3 games in his legs in a short space of time? I don't think so.
Right.
I would like to see Tommy come off the bench when the game opens up a little bit. you can't start Arzani and Timmy Cahill because neither of them have got 90 minutes in their legs. I'd like to see Arzani start and Timmy come off the bench in the squeaky bum stage of the game.
And take this chilly reception that you've got here this morning as a literal thing rather than a metaphorical thing between us.
It's always good to stay cool.
Oh, there you go. There.
Good
nice,
comeback.
Nice. Phil Moss with our football update there, everyone.
13:53.
We're going to take a break, and after the break, we're going to head to Denver, where it's 31 degrees and not much air.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Ricebury.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
G'day guys, Nolvi here. Sutton City's letting every ABN holder take more than they give this end of financial year on the tough new Holden Colorado pickup. Priced from just $39,990 drive away with a 5-year warranty and roadside assist plus an amazingly low 3.99% per annum finance rate for ABN holders. Check them out online at suttoncityholden.com.au or drop by 2 Link Road, Zetland and ask, what about me?
MD14314.
Wine, dine, play, be entertained and win at Panthers Penrith. Yes, during Panthers Fiji Friday promotion, you can win a holiday for two to Fiji simply by becoming a member. It's only $5 to join and thereafter you can earn extra tickets in the draw every day. Plus an additional ticket when you mention Jimmy Smith, the Big Sports Breakfast weekend at the Members Centre.
Back at you, hey?
Return serve finally. Right, yeah. All you got to do though is mention the Big Sports Breakfast weekend at the Members Centre for that additional ticket. Sign up today at panthers.com.au.
Equally Tedesco, equally Tedesco. Wonderfully right footstep, spins off, got the ball to Campbell Gillard, goes to Maloney, wide to Edo Carr.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Come on, Jimmy. The Ponds are the last team you should hope to win anything. That's from Scooter. I know, and that's why, although we were on the same side in the war, so, I mean, we're against the Germans, so I don't know why you'd be cheering for the Germans. So, if Australia don't win this World Cup,
I want Brazil to win, then I've got a bit of a soft spot for England.
You want Brazil? Where'd that come from? You mentioned that late in the...
Yeah, Pele, yeah.
Okay.
Since I was a kid.
I tell you what, it's been rugby league on an international scale today over there at Denver. The report's coming through. There was just over 19,000 people at Sports Authority Field in Colorado. And on the ground, reporting on this one for the Sydney Morning Herald, their chief rugby league writer, Adrian Prezenko, who's been good enough to join us on the phone after the wash-up. G'day, Adrian.
G'day, guys. I'm talking to you from the home of the Denver Broncos. It's all happening. The rugby league capital of the world.
Of course. All right, game 36 points to England, 18 to New Zealand after New Zealand got out to an early start. Overall, were your thoughts on the game impacted perhaps by the weather conditions, and I mean the temperature and the altitude?
Yeah, it was a factor, actually. A couple of times, in fact, three times, the Kiwis kicked off and the ball sailed out on the full, and at one point, Gareth would have stepped up and kicked a goal from halfway. So you don't see that in the NRL every day. But now, it was a fair crowd, just under 20,000. And I guess to put that into perspective, the game here was played at the same time as the Colorado Rockies were playing just down the street. And they pulled about 40,000 people out of the precinct. So it was a good atmosphere. It was a really good game as well, free-flowing. So I think it was a really good advertisement for rugby league to a new market.
Yeah, England at 36, New Zealand 18. Adrian, I guess the question everyone wants to know is, have you had a chance to get into both camps and check on any potential injuries?
Yeah, that was always one of the biggest fears of all the clubs and one of the main reasons they didn't want to release their players. The good news is that pretty much everyone has escaped unscathed.
Terrific.
There's a suspected broken hand to Raymond Papale Mariner, but that's probably the extent of it at this point.
Okay. Isaac Luke, we saw the vision. There was a bit of a raised elbow from John Bateman, and then Isaac Luke, it would seem, very deliberately trod on his hand. England got the penalty. Are you anticipating anything further out of that one, Adrian?
Yeah, I think we'll hear a bit more about that. And also in the game a little bit earlier, Martin Papau put on a late shot, which under the new sin bin rules, you probably would have got 10 minutes off the field in the NRL for active foul play, and particularly when we talk about protection for playmakers. So I reckon they are two incidents that we'll be hearing more about at some stage.
Mm. Hey, Adrian, can you give us a sense of how the Americans embraced this International Rugby League match?
Yeah, absolutely. It was funny, just walking down 6th Street, 16th Avenue, you couldn't walk a couple of hundred metres without seeing a big poster of James Graham or Marty Tapau, and the big headline underneath it was captioned with big hits, no pads. And that's one of the things that everyone we've spoken to around here can't get their head around, the fact that there are no helmets, there are no pads, and they're playing for 80 minutes as well. Like, this is the other thing. It's so different to the NFL that's played over here where there's so many stoppages.
Yeah.
These guys keep going, and we saw that today as the fatigue kicked in, the altitude certainly kicked in as well. The game really opened up, and that's why we saw a lot of tries. And it was a good thing, too. It was good, expansive play. And everyone wants to do it again. I mean, Wayne Bennett in the post-match press conference said that the battle now with the clubs and with head office, the NRL, begins now. They want to come back out here. The clubs don't want it. The NRL don't want it. But the players are really passionate about it. They haven't done it for money. They've come out here because they want to represent their country, and they get only a fraction of the $20,000 that the Kangaroos get for pulling on the green and gold jersey. So I think it was really well received, and certainly the players want to see it again, and hopefully the people out here want to see it too. It was beamed to about 60 million homes via CBS.
Okay.
So it's only a small fraction of those fans tuned in. I think they saw something they might want to see again.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Adrian, just while we got you, any other news around in the world of rugby league?
Well, there hasn't been too much NRL news floating around in downtown Denver, unfortunately. Obviously,
surprising.
I'm a little bit out of the loop. I'm looking forward to coming back and seeing what the wash-up is from Origin on, obviously, Robbie Starr's first game back at Leichhardt Oval. But no, all the boys have been well behaved here. There's been a booze ban pretty much across the both camps. So, the players have been very well behaved, and they've been good ambassadors for the sport. They've done a lot of promotional activities. They've been very accessible, and I think that they've hit onto something here that hopefully we can see again in Denver.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that booze ban extends to the media contingent over there as well. I think that'll be much safer for Denver as well.
I'd hate to have to come over here next year and do it all over again, but anyway.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to be careful. Hard to get those visas at times. Good on you, Adrian. Exactly. Appreciate that, mate.
Thanks, mate. Anytime.
Thanks, Adrian.
Adrian Prazenko, their chief rugby league writer for Fairfax Media over there in Denver, after England beat New Zealand 36 points to 18 in the test match there, in front of a crowd of 19,340 people. No more callers on the two tickets to ANZ Stadium tonight for the State of Origin. Congratulations, Shane from Dapto. You've won the double pass, courtesy of ANZ Stadium. So we thank our good friends out there at ANZ Stadium for making that available. The answers, of course, Greg Inglis scored 18 tries, has scored thus far. Hopefully he doesn't get any more. And Brad Fittler was the youngest player to represent New South Wales. 13:53:53, that's the open line number. We'll take a break and be back with more.
And now for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports.
The very best of U.S. racing 7 days a week.
Looking at Lee, can't catch, always dreaming, who's the 143rd winner of the Kentucky Derby.
Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Another quick success story about radio. A brand manager needed to promote a new source, a yummy new source.
Yum.
She knew that, on average, Australians listen to the radio for 2 hours and 10 minutes each day. So she ran a tasty radio ad telling everyone how
yum
her new brand of was. People heard the ads in there. They heard them in the and while they made
dinner,
soon the
yum
new brand of was on
dinner
tables everywhere. All thanks to radio. Alive with listeners, alive with results. Visit radioalive.com.au.
Wants a quick play. They didn't pet it. They're greedy, the Giants. By eyes to the scoreboard, they take it to 30. So the key for the Giants in the last part of this quarter has been to keep the ball short.
Five.
That is half-time. One final 2 minutes from Giants netball. They claim the bonus point.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. You'll get an exclusive tip from Ray Thomas and myself just before the end of the program about tonight's state of origin.
Okay.
Just teasing people with that, Ray.
I don't think it'll be too hard to work out who we're going for tonight.
But right now, we'd like to cross to our Victorian listener and get an update on some of the markets around the globe. Hello, Trent.
Good morning to you, fellas. I'm happy about the fact that during the quiz they had the person there that was St George Illawarra and Carlton as well, Ray. So who's feeling your pain about the Blues at the moment?
He certainly is.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
Tell me about a topsy-turvy year. One team's on top of the comp and the other team's down the bottom.
Can't win a game.
Anyway.
Get thrashed this afternoon, I think, won't they? Trent, the Blue Boys take on Collingwood at the G.
They will get a touch-up, so we can mention that if you want, or we can discuss
far away.
Origin.
Go to the Origin first,
okay.
The most important
market. Get out of the way, then get a big one.
Okay. Well, New South Wales, as you mentioned, fellas, ballooned to $1.37 this morning, and Queensland $3.20. Probably not surprisingly that there is support for Queensland just because of the price, about 55%, but certainly I know where Jimmy's going, that New South Wales are going to do the job tonight, aren't they, fellas?
Yes.
Hope so. Yes.
And the line for the game is 9.5, which is one
massive.
Which you are interested in with the plus. And I will say that Queensland plus 9.5 at $1.80, it's 10-1 the ratio of money for Queensland to New South Wales with that line.
Well, I agree. I think that looks attractive. Queensland plus 9.5 in an Origin game at ANZ Stadium. It's not Suncorp.
No.
It's not Suncorp.
It's apparently cold as well at the moment.
Well, it's cold in the studio, but that's just us complaining.
Beautiful day outside, apparently.
It's going to be a magnificent day, but we're having a bit of a sook in here. What about first try scorer? We like to get involved in first try scorer.
Yeah, so I'll just throw out a few players here. Josh Adokar is the $8 favourite. Latrell Mitchell and Tom Trbojevic at $10. James Tedesco at $11. And then at $13, you've got James Roberts, Valentine Holmes and Dane Gagai. Have I missed the first try scorer there, fellas, or are you happy with those names I just mentioned?
Oh, Val Holmes at $13 looks all right to me.
Righto, Trent, give us the bad news. What price the Blue Boys? And Australia, any chance to stop this whitewash tonight?
Well, Collingwood are $1.07, and about 20 minutes ago someone had $20,000 at the $1.07, rate. And Carlton are $9.50. The line is 46.5. I'm not going to lie to you, right? I think Collingwood's going to win. But I don't know if it'll be an absolute cakewalk because they come off the bye, but they have been impressive this season. Unfortunately, more misery for the Blues there.
Yeah.
England are $1.40 to make it a 5-0 series whitewash against Australia. They're
unheard
$3. That's 8 o'clock, the first ball at Old Trafford. And just with the World Cup, I'll mention the favourites for the games, fellas. At 10 o'clock, England, they're $1.22 against Panama.
Go, England.
At 1 in the morning, Senegal at $2.25 against Japan. And at 4 in the morning, Colombia at $2.20 against Poland. But obviously, most eyes will be centred on ANZ Stadium. We'll go roughly $7.50 the start there. New South Wales $1.37 and Queensland $3.20. The 9.5 Queensland have been backed at that with the head start. To check out all the markets and plenty more, you can head to tab.com.au.
Good on you, Trent. We appreciate that. We'll catch up again next week.
No worries. Thanks, fellas.
There he is, Trent. Our Victorian listener, Trent Lenscale there from tab.com.
He's the man of the match.
Yeah, man of the match is an interesting market, isn't it? Tedesco's at $8 and an equal favourite with James Maloney. Cleary and Cook at $9, Munster at $11, Cordner, Frizzell, Slater, $15. Ponga, $17.
Benny Hunt, yeah.
The value I see there is with Damien Cook at $9.
Yeah. He's a good player.
At $9. Let's see how it plays out. Let's see how things are playing out at Steve Foster & Sons Quality Cars, because I think we've got ourselves some very good news based on last week. Let's get to Scotty on the line there now. Hello, Scotty.
Yeah, good morning, boys. It's been a great week for us, actually. So I wanted to congratulate Peter Teal from Mount Brown up near Coffs Harbour. Pete purchased a very nice Mitsubishi ASX during the week, and my younger brother, Benny, delivered that up to him yesterday. So we want to keep the ball rolling.
So hang on a minute. That counts as one of ours, right?
Yeah, definitely. He listens to the program.
Okay, so fantastic.
That's why he rang, because he listens to you guys.
Congratulations, Pete.
Good on you, Pete.
Yeah.
Well done. Mm-hmm.
He actually got a tip from me on Friday as well.
Your horse won.
It did.
Go, Bailey, it's your good thing.
Yeah, mate, we cheered at home, and I'm glad to say that you actually gave it a two stars as well.
I had a little bet on it as well. Go, your good thing, Scotty. Yeah, I was going to send you a text and I forgot, but anyway.
Good on you, mate.
Well done.
Glad everyone won on that one.
Jimmy's having a go at me now. But
I'm thinking, where's my text message?
I didn't tell him about it. Sorry, mate.
Well, I don't think he mentioned his horse.
Yeah, he was in King's Trust mode all weekend.
That's a good point. Good point, Scotty. Mm-hmm. Good point.
All right. Well, anyway, boys, as I said, we want to keep the ball rolling. Mm-hmm. So we've got another a beautiful car for the listeners. This is an outstanding 2009 Ford Fiesta ZTEC hatch. So this is automatic. It comes with logbooks and service history. It's been extremely well looked after. It's black in colour and absolutely beautiful. It has a sports body kit and a rear spoiler, tinted windows and 16-inch alloy wheels. It's also got all the standard power and safety options like ABS brakes, traction control, 6 airbags, cruise control, dynamic stability control. It's got the Bluetooth, front fog lights and remote central locking. Now, this is unbelievable value today for the listeners. This is just $7,990, and that does include a three-year warranty. So go to the website, www.fosterqualitycars.com.au, but don't forget to mention Sky Sports Radio because you'll see the cars actually advertised for a little bit more on the website. If you mention Sky Sports Radio, you'll get this great price and the warranty included.
Yeah, great deals, and you've got some great finance packages available as well, Scotty.
Yeah, we certainly do. We've had them going for a long time now, and it's given us access to a lot of lenders, which allows us to get the very best rates, but it also allows us to help a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance get into a car. So if you've had credit issues in the past, then now's the time to give us a call. If you're on a pension, have paid or unpaid defaults, starting a new business and need a work vehicle, even Uber driving, then go to our website, www.fostersqualitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 96375024 because we can help you get into a vehicle as soon as today. And hopefully, boys, if Bally's is running again, I might be able to give any purchaser a nice tip as well.
There you go.
That's a little bonus. Fantastic. Now, what about the pre-game to State of Origin tonight? It's actually not at ANZ Stadium. It's at Ringrose Park, from what I understand.
It certainly is. A big day at Ringrose Park this afternoon. We've got Wanny Sydney Shield side playing St Mary's at 1. That's followed by the Wanny Ron Massey Cup side also playing St Mary's at 3 p.m. There'll be two quality games of footy, and we'll fill in the gap nicely before the Blues bring home the State of Origin series. So go the Blues, go Wanny. And boys, yeah, I mean, if you get the Wanny, you've watched two great games there, then head over to the club and watch it on the multiple big screens over there at Wanny Leagues.
Yeah, perfect, perfect. Good on you, Scotty. We'll speak again next week.
All right, boys. See you later.
See you, Scotty. There is Scotty Foster from Steve Foster and Sons Quality Cars. If you want to check out that car that he was mentioning, the 2009 Ford Fiesta ZTEC hatch, great car at $7,990, head online. Fosters Quality Cars.com.au. A few tweets coming through about our drought breakers, Raymond.
Yes.
And that is on the back of New South Wales' win in the State of Origin game tonight, which we've predicted pretty confidently too. Steve Waugh's maiden test century.
Saw every ball.
Took a while, but then kaboom.
Headingley, 1989, 177, not out.
There you go.
It was fantastic.
There you go. So
every ball off middle of the bat, Steve Waugh that day.
And there's another one, never look back, a bit like Bob Simpson from memory, couple of years and then a double century. I apologise if wrong. Well, here's the interesting one about Bob Simpson. He took a long while to get his first test
and
century.
And made it a big one.
A triple.
311, wasn't it?
There you
memory?
Go. Yeah. So that was from Scott on Twitter. So there you go. Yeah, keep those coming in. Boys, I've framed a market for the State of Origin kickoff time. 7:45 p.m. is $51. 7:46 to 7:50 is $8. And whenever Channel 9 decide the game will kick off, is $1.01. That's Craig from
Pembroke. Officially down on Arthur's timesheet is 7:40, isn't it?
7:50, I thought it was. 7:50 was the anticipated kickoff time. Oh, no, there it is. 7:40.
It's a mean to one, that.
7:40, okay.
Mean
well,
to
it's an outsider, let's put it that way. Raymond? The game tonight, your thoughts, your final thoughts on it, the listeners?
Blues will win. I agree with Gus Gilder, it'll be tight. Queensland will not go down without a big fight.
No.
I think Damien Cook out of dummy half will be really important. Cleary Maloney, if they can do and manage a game like they did in game one, the Blues will get the job done.
Keep trying to win the game. That was the thing that deserted them in the second half of this corresponding game last year. They thought they'd protect their lead. You can't do that. I know it's a very different Queensland side. I know there's not as strong.
A lot of dangerous game breakers in the Queensland team, though. So you're right. They've got to keep trying to win the football game, keep trying to score points.
So as Gus Gould talked about, that mentality, the mentality of pushing and wanting to, you know, be ruthless with your opposition. You have to maintain.
You going to the game tonight?
I'm going to the game tonight. I'm very excited about it. Calling the State of Origin game. So
who are you calling with?
I'm calling with Laurie Daly, Scott Sattler, and Luke Lewis. So
all State of Origin players.
All State of Origin players. So it's very exciting. Excited about that one. So yes, good luck to everyone involved.
This would be
involved,
your biggest game, wouldn't it?
Biggest game. Yes, absolutely.
Good luck to me.
Thank you.
Not nervous.
Not until you just mentioned it. But anyway, coming up on Racing HQ, Mick Wallace is going to look at today's Canamble meeting. John Scores previews Wagga. Big sport.